and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get right into today is the subject of Joe Biden dragging Democrats down. Now, most of us look at the president's falling job approval rating as a measure of his declining popularity. They look at Joe Biden going down in the job approval rating and say that's a reflection of what Joe Biden is doing, and just Joe Biden. But for every candidate, Democrat or Republican, running for the House or running for the Senate this year, Biden's numbers mean political life or death. They mean far more than just a measure of how Joe Biden individual is performing in office. And the reason it is so important to those Democratic and Republican candidates is that the president's job approval rating is an extraordinarily important factor in midterm elections. Biden's rating obviously is low, and it's going lower. There's a new Pew poll. I mean, there's always a new poll, but the new one right now is a new poll from Pew that puts Biden at 41% approval versus 56% disapproval. Now, just one poll, but as you know, the Real Clear Politics website averages polls together, and the Pew results are very close to the Real Clear Politics average. Pew poll puts Biden at 41% approval. The Real Clear Politics average is 40.8% approval. And Pew has Biden at 56% disapproval, Real Clear Politics average at 55.2% disapproval. So I think the Pew poll is pretty representative of where polls are placing Biden right now. Now, if these results continue, they will be felt in November. So I'm going to read a quote from a man at Real Clear Politics, very respected political analyst Sean Trendy. Quote, "In our increasingly polarized and nationalized politics, the single most determinative factor in midterm outcomes is the president's job approval. The single most determinative factor in midterm outcomes." Okay, so that's pretty serious. Resuming the quote, "With both the House and Senate very narrowly split between the two parties, entering the 2022 elections with a president whose job approval is at this level," okay, that was 41% for Joe Biden, "entering the 22 elections with a president whose job approval is at this level carries catastrophic implications for the Democrats." Catastrophic implications. That's pretty serious. Now, Biden's situation is particularly worrisome for Democrats, because historically, the president's party usually loses seats in the first midterm election. But the president's job approval has a huge effect on how big that loss will be. Now, Gallup, has been polling for a million years, look back at midterm results going back to 1946. In elections where the president's job approval rating was above 50%, his party's midterm losses in the House averaged 14 seats. So if it's above 50%, he's still probably going to lose seats. But the average was 14 seats. Now, in elections where the president's job approval rating was below 50%, the losses averaged 37 seats. That's a big difference, 14 seats or 37 seats. In 1994, Bill Clinton's job approval rating, now he had a really rocky first year. In 1994, Bill Clinton's job approval rating, just before the midterms, stood at 46% in the Gallup poll. That's a good deal better than Biden's is right now. 46% in the Gallup poll. His party lost 53 seats in the House in those 1994 midterm elections. In 2010, Barack Obama's job approval rating was 45%. His party lost 63 seats, okay? 45%, which is still better than Joe Biden's right now. His party lost 63 seats in 2010. And in 2018, Donald Trump's job approval rating was 40%, lower than Biden's is right now. His party lost 41 seats. Now, sometimes you'll hear the example of George W. Bush given. Bush's first midterm was in 2002, but that was the year after September 11th, the beginning of war, the war on terror. There was a lot of support for Bush. It was a very unusual year. His party actually picked up 6 seats, but it's a very rare exception to the rule that we're talking about. Looking at Bill Clinton losing 53 seats, Barack Obama losing 63 seats, Donald Trump losing 41 seats. Now remember, we're talking about big losses. Remember, the current balance of power in the House is 222 Democrats and 212 Republicans with one vacancy, 435 members in the House. 222 to 212. If Democrats lose 6 seats and Republicans pick up 6 seats, Republicans will control the House. A 6-seat loss would do it, and the average historically is 37 seats. Now, Republicans could significantly underperform the historical average of non-presidential parties in midterm elections and still win the House. But what about the Senate? What about the Senate? For Senate races, Sean Trendy developed a model taking into account a president's job approval rating, the presence or absence of an incumbent on the ticket, and whether one party had chosen an unusually weak candidate, like Republicans did in 2010. You don't even want to remember 2010. It was kind of disastrous for Republicans who had a chance to win the Senate, and they picked some really dreadful candidates in a few states where they otherwise would have had a chance, and they lost. So it's kind of all bets are off if you pick really terrible candidates. But Sean Trendy puts together this model, and he notes that Republicans winning control of the Senate this time would be possible if Joe Biden's approval rating were around 51%. If Biden were at 51%, it would still be possible for Republicans to win the Senate. If Biden's rating were 48%, a Republican victory would become likely. But what about now? It's a lot lower than that. Quote, at 42%, the model envisions virtually no chance for Democrats to hold the Senate and predicts a loss of 4 seats as the most likely outcome. That's Sean Trendy again at Real Clear Politics. So, lose 4 seats, it's 50-50 now, becomes 54-46 Republicans. That's an actual Senate majority as opposed to what Democrats have now in the evenly split 50-50 Senate. So here again, that's this correlation between a president's job approval rating and the chances of his party in midterm elections, both in the House and in the Senate. Now, you say, what about unexpected events? I mean, really, we're talking, I mean, it's late January now. We're talking about something that's going to happen in November, and you're telling me that there's not going to be any news between now and then? That could change everything. And, you know, it's true, a sensible note of caution demands that you recognize the role that unforeseen events can play in determining our politics. For example, in late 2019, as Donald Trump was being impeached, you probably would not have guessed that a worldwide pandemic would dominate U.S. politics in the coming year. You wouldn't have guessed it. So unexpected things happen. Nevertheless, it is hard to significantly change a president's trend line in a midterm year. Now, this is something I'm going to talk about from Nathan Gonzalez, an elections analyst writing at The Hill. And I didn't know this. I did not know the statistic. Looking back more than 70 years, there has not been a single president who substantially improved his job approval rating from late January, early February of a midterm election year to late October, early November. Okay? If you think, well, you know, maybe Biden's rating can improve and things will be better, and by November, you know, his rating will be higher and people will feel better and maybe Democrats can retain the House and Senate. That may be really, really, really wishful thinking. Looking back more than 70 years, there has not been a single president who substantially improved his job approval rating from late January, early February of a midterm election year to late October, early November. Okay? That's from Nathan Gonzalez. This is more from Gonzalez. In the last 18 midterm elections going back to Harry Truman in 1950, the average president's job approval rating dropped 8 points between this time of year and election year. So not only has not a single president in the last 70 years substantially improved his job approval rating, most of them go down. The average president's job approval rating has dropped 8 points. Now, Biden's already at 41 or 42 points approval, it seems unlikely that he would go down to 33 or 34 points. There is a floor to these losses, and there's a floor to presidential job approval, unless just all hell breaks loose and you get down into the 20s. But it happened to George W. Bush in his second term, when the war in Iraq was just going to hell and the economy collapsed and people were really, really ready for a new president. You get down to what John McCain used to call paid staff and blood relatives. Those are the only people who are supporting me now. So, I mean, it's possible for a president to get all the way down, but it's much more likely to talk about Joe Biden hovering in the range that he is now, not improving, you know, not plunging, but not improving, maybe going down a little more, maybe into the high 30s, but not a big plunge and certainly not a rocket back above 50%. So I'm just going to read you again. We're about to finish here, but just want to read you again what Nathan Gonzalez said. Looking back more than 70 years, there has not been a single president who substantially improved his job approval rating from late January, early February of a midterm election year to late October, early November. In the last 18 midterm elections, going back to Harry Truman in 1950, the average president's job approval rating dropped 8 points between this time of year and election day. Sorry to go through all these numbers. The bottom line is nothing is set in stone. Let's be cautious. Let's stipulate that unprecedented or unlikely and unforeseen things can in fact happen. So nothing is set in stone, but things are looking really, really bad for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. That's today's message. It's really pretty simple. Listen, thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. And hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
If you give power to the federal government, you never get it back. I'm Sarah Carter on the Lita Sarah Carter Show. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich joins me to discuss his battles with the Biden administration over COVID funding and his fight to keep Washington from taking away the constitutional power of the states. I'll also address Biden's disastrous press conference and much more. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.